being here for 2 days and giving a shiurim here. It's a big chizuk for me, and I appreciate the opportunity. Everyone needs chizuk. We talk about that during the year. Everyone needs chizuk. Just very briefly, we all learn in a tiv. Nevin Sol Shlita once in a while, at night seder, reads art scroll biographies. Very strange. Maybe you guys have seen it. Very strange. Not strange as in weird. Strange as in striking. What's he reading art scroll biographies for? He's one of the gedolim. He spends his time learning Gemara Biyun all the time and everything. So the answer, we asked Aplizkia, and Aplizkia told us that Rav Nevensal says he gets chizuk from reading the art scroll biographies, which is incredible. Rav Nevensal may have seen will be someone they write an art scroll biography about, without exaggeration. And he needs chizuk. So say, well, Rav Nevensal is an anav, so he pretends to need chizuk. That doesn't make sense. He doesn't waste his time. You all saw the picture, when he's eating in the sukkah and he just finished shas, he was starting the next, he learns when he eats. So like he was eating bread and hummus or whatever as he started brachas for the next time. It's in one of his svarim, by the way. It says on Yom Tov that you have chatzi l'shem, chatzi l'chem. Half day you learn and half day you eat and drink and learn and not eat and drink. So you split up their day. So Rav Nevensal says, when he was younger, he asked one of his rebbeim, I think Rav Nochum from Mir, why not, instead of learning half a day and davening half a day, why don't you learn while you're eating? And then you can learn the whole day. Now the question reflects who Rav Nevensal is. Anyway, so his rebbe answered him, if you learn while you eat, that's not lachem and it's not lashem. It's neither one. It's not real learning, it's not real eating. But still, Rav Nevensal learns all the time. He needs chizuk. I mean, you guys know the stories. I'll tell you one story you might not know. Rav Chizkia told us the following. Rav Chizkia is Rav Nevensal's son. Okay. He told us that this is incredible. There's one topic in Rav Nevensal's svarim which he never discusses. One topic in Musar, of Midos. And Rav Chizkia noticed this. And he asked him, Abba, why don't you ever discuss this topic? And Rav Nevensal said, because this Midah, I don't feel I've worked on enough to write about it. Now, what does that mean? That means the 999 other midos that he does write about, he really feels he's worked on enough to write about. Now, if you read what Rav Nevensal writes in his Sfarim, it is so powerful. That's like the most powerful story. So Rav Chizkia won't tell us what the top, which midah it was, but he noticed, which is also reflects Rav Chizkia. And Rav Nevensal said, it's mind-boggling. So Rav Nevensal needs chizuk. So apparently Rav Nevensal needs chizuk. So if Rav Nevensal needs chizuk, a little bit of chizuk, a drop, then we need an ocean. So a chance to get chizuk is a great opportunity. It's an opportunity for me to give this year is to get chizuk. And for the guys, you made the right choice. For a chance to get chizuk, it's always good. You have to find ways to get chizuk when you're back here in the outside world. All right, today's shiur has two parts. The first part is like more halacha. The second part is more hashkafa, chizuk, musar. The first part is the Rav Soloveitchik's approach to minhagim. And it's interesting. What I want to say today, actually, if you get Jewish action, this month's Jewish action, there was a give and take of letters. Rav Shechter Shlita wrote an article in the previous Jewish action about Masorah. And somebody, a friend of mine, wrote an article in where he sort of took on Rav Shechter a little, which is interesting. And Rav Shechter wrote back. And Rav Shechter's response, what I'm going to say, he writes in his response again. So it's just hashkach. If you get Jewish action in the house, look in the letter section. And Rav Shechter, it's good to have Jewish action in the house. All right, here's the yesod. The Rav had a yesod, which Rav Shechter discusses all the time, which is as follows. The Rav noticed that when you look in the Gran Shulchan Aruch, whenever the Shulchan Aruch or the Ramah quotes a minhag, the Gra will give you some sort of marker for the minhag. Look in this Gemara, look in this Rishon. In other words, obviously the Gemara isn't an outright chiyuv for the minhag, or else it would be a real din. But the Gra says, look in this Rishon, look in this Gemara, you'll see the source for the minhag. So why does the Gra do that? So the Rav explained as follows, that the Gra is teaching us, and this is a big yesod, the Rav spoke about it all the time. We don't have ceremonies in Judaism. Nothing is like stam, oh, I do something because it's a ceremony in Yahadus. That's in Christianity you'll have to. The Rav explained, every minhag that starts in, that's a kosher minhag, is based on a pre-existing halacha. It's a kiyum of a pre-existing halacha. You don't stop, oh, minhag starts, and let's do this because like it makes sense. Why not do this? No, no. We don't stop do things in Yadis. Everything we do, even minhagim, are based on something. So the Gra is pointing out, there's a Gemara, there's a Shita we don't accept. But the minhag is, we're machmir for that Shita we don't accept. Or this minhag developed out of this din. Every minhag is based on something. And that's why the Rav Soloveitchik was very wary. That's why the Rav spent a lot of time explaining what's explaining minhagim. The Rav spent a lot of time in Shir learning Shulchan Aruch Magen Avraham and explaining minhagim. I'll give you more background. When the Rav was Nifter, so somebody wrote an article, it was not a Kavodah Torah, that the Rav did his own thing and the Rav would sometimes paskin, not like the Shulchan Aruch. Okay. So Shechter was all upset. And he said, of all the great Rosh Yeshiva of the last 100 years, the Rav gave shir on Shulchan Aruch more than anyone. In other words, when you go to Shir Yomi, normal Shir Yomi, high level, you're going to Gemara, Rashi, Tosfos, Rambam. The Rav often gave shir that the text in front of him was Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch, Shachtaz, in Yerodeya, Shulchan Aruch, Magen Avraham. Rav Shechter said, the Rav gave shir on Shulchan Aruch more than anyone. And the Rav spent a lot of time explaining Minhagim. And I have here four examples, and they're beautiful examples. The sheet in front of you, the first sheet, just I gave you the, on your own you can do more research, the source is where the Rav Shechter and the other Sfarim quote the Rav's ideas. So by the Yesod, every minhag is a kiyum of a pre-existing halacha. Look in Nefesh HaRav and Pnimi HaRav, that's where the Rav Shechter discussed it, and it's the real source is the Gra. That the Rav said, the Gra always give, why does the Gra, every minhag, because you don't stop having minhagim. You don't stop having minhagim. I'll give you one mashal. One mashal. It's clear of Soloveitchik was a big religious Zionist. That, I mean, look at his life, look at his speeches. But he was wary about halal on Yom Ha'atzmaut. If you talk to his Talmidim, at some parts in his life, he was pro-halal. At some parts, he wasn't pro-halal. There's a famous tape which was printed up recently. So you have to have clear. The reason why the Rav was wary about halal is because we don't, even though I think it makes sense. We don't stop doing things unless it's a kiyum of a halacha. Is there a halacha out there? There's a din d'oraisa, a din d'rabbanan, that we're going to start something new that fits into that. So we shouldn't let the fact that the Rav was wary about halal doesn't affect the fact that he was a big Zionist, really a Zionist, and he was supportive of the Medina. But the reason why he was nervous, he was wary of changing the davening, like in YU, what they do on Yom Ha'atzmaut is they daven normally. And then after davening, they say halal without a bracha. In other words, because to change the minhag and change davening, the Rav was wary about. So that's an example that people talk about. But that's where, and Rav Shechter writes in the Sefer, the Rav, when some years he was more pro, some years he was less pro. It's because this whole thing, minhagim, we don't stop and do things. Every new action has to be based on a pre-existing halacha. All right. So here are some of the famous examples. Kabbalah Shabbos. Kabbalah Shabbos is really strange. It's a new tefillah. You look in the Gemara. There, the Mishnah is five tefillahs. Maariv, Shachris, Mincha, Musaf, and Ne'ilah. And Ne'ilah. We have five tefillahs in the Mishnah in the Gemara. What's this Kabbalah Shabbos? Kabbalah Shabbos is very new. It's a couple hundred years old. Kabbalah Shabbos was started around the time of the Rizal and his Talmidim. Since when do we add tefillahs to davening? And you should know, Kabbalah Shabbos didn't take off so fast. There were countries, Germany didn't accept Kabbalah Shabbos till I think roughly 150 years ago. I'm not exactly sure when. So it's a new thing, a new tefillah. What's Kabbalah Shabbos all about? So the Rav gave a beautiful shir that although saying Kabbalah Shabbos was never done until a few hundred years ago, but the idea of Kabbalah Shabbos as a din existed. He quoted the Rambams, the Rambam in Hilchos Shabbos. And here, in source B1B, it's page 2 of your booklet. This is one page from the Rav's Shum Zich Avamori. The Rambam describes, in Hilchos Shabbos Perek Lamed, that Kavod Shabbos is preparing for Shabbos. There's Kavod Shabbos and Onik Shabbos. What's the difference? So the Rav would always quote the Gra. The Gra says, Onik Shabbos is things you do on Shabbos to enjoy Shabbos. Chont is Onik Shabbos. Okay. Kavod Shabbos is things we do Erev Shabbos to get ready for Shabbos. Taking a shower, getting dressed in nice clothing to show you're getting ready for Shabbos. That's why, this is famous, the Rambam quotes Hadrakas Ne'er Shabbos twice. So the Brisker Rav said, Hadrakas Ne'er Shabbos is both. It's Kavod Shabbos, you light candles to usher Shabbos in, Shabbos especially, you like candles, like ambiance, like at a wedding you have candles. It's not there for light, it's there, it adds ambiance. And lighting candles is Onik Shabbos. They used to not have electricity. So they need light to eat. You know, caterers say that 90% of the taste of the food is based on how it looks. So you have to have a light so you could see the food. So lighting candles is both. That's why that's a beautiful shot, by the way. That's why the Rambam quotes it twice. Kavod Shabbos and Onik Shabbos. So Kavod Shabbos is things we do to get ready for Shabbos. And the Rambam writes in Perek Lamed of Hilchos Shabbos that before Shabbos starts, he says, it's the middle of page 2, V'yoshev b'kovid rosh, meichel lehakbolas pnei ha-Shabbos. You sit there in a serious way, kovid rosh, he says you put a talis on, that's what the Rambam says, and you're waiting for Shabbos to come. Lehakbolas, like you're going to be makabel, you're going to meet the king as it comes in. In other words, Kavod Shabbos means you're supposed to actively anticipate the coming of Shabbos. You don't sit back, okay, now Shabbos is here. No, I do things to get ready for and he says you put a talis on, and you actively anticipate the coming of Shabbos. So the Rav said, when you say Kabbalah Shabbos, you're actively showing Shabbos is coming, it's a special day, I'm adding a special tefillah as part of my preparation. Here comes Shabbos. Here comes the Shabbos king, the Shabbos queen. When somebody chashu comes, you say special tefillos, you say a special welcome. Thank you. You say a special. It's the same. Say a special welcome. That's Kabbalah Shabbos. So it's beautiful. So Kabbalah Shabbos. This is the vort of the Rav. When we recite the words of Kabbalah Shabbos, that's a new minhag, 200 years old. That minhag is a kiyum of the mitzvah derabanan of Kavod Shabbos. And that's why it was a minhag that was accepted. It's a real din. Now, how come I never saw that before, whatever the reason was. But this minhag is a fulfillment, a kiyum of a pre-existing din of Kavod Shabbos to actively anticipate the arrival of Shabbos. And it's something we should take seriously. That's why, by the way, and this is stamach true, Kabbalah Shabbos is supposed to be before Shkia. In other words, the way davening is supposed to be is you get to the Chadodi before Shkia. Most shuls don't do that. Okay, you know, early Shabbos is in this sense, is better for that reason. Most shuls that daven the normal late minyan do not get to the Chadodi before Shkia, and that's just the way it is. And okay, but it would be better to get to the Chadodi before Shkia. So the whole point of Kabbalah Shabbos is it's like part of my prep. I took a shower. I'm wearing nice clothing. I'm getting ready to accept Shabbos as it's coming in, before it comes in. Okay, but that's the Rav on Kabbalah Shabbos. That's a beautiful pshat. Okay, next. Oh, the Chassan's Tish. Chassan's Tish is very important. If you need a Dibur Torah for the Chassan's Tish, so this one isn't the bad one. Chassan's Tish is a serious halacha. It goes back a long way. And it goes back when I was doing an Or Chaim, and Rav Lander Shlita was giving a shir. Middle of his shir, he had this big chiddush, and he said, this is the chiddush which Rav Herschel Schechter Shlita discussed at his Chassan's Tish, like 30 years ago. So Rav Schechter's Chassan's Tish Torah was the punchline of a big Iyun shir in Or Chaim 30 years ago. That's a good story, for a lot of reasons. That's Rav Lander and Rav Schechter and the whole thing. I was so excited. In my notes, I got a big red marker. Because I'm a Talmud of both, so I was very excited. He quoted it, and it was a nice pshat. There's a Nemuka Yosef in Hilchos Sanhedrin. Rav Schechter had this nice pshat, So the Chassan's Tish. Well, what's the idea? The Chassan gets an aliyah the week of his wedding, and he says Torah at the Chassan's Tish. So what's the idea? So the Rav said a beautiful idea. He said as follows. The Chassan has a Chiyuv Simcha. Chiyuv Simcha, that we know, there are sources for that. The Chassan has a Chiyuv of Simcha. It's a special day. And the Rambam writes in Hilchos Yom Tov, this is on page 3, this is from Rav Shech Yosefer, the Rambam writes that when one has a chiyuv simcha, he's supposed to share it with others. Part of my chiyuv simcha, it's from Ostia Beis, is to share it with others. So when you're besimcha, part of your chiyuv simcha, the Rambam talks about in Hilchos Yom Tov, simcha's Yom Tov isn't just to eat and drink on your own, you should invite people over. If you're not going to invite someone, that's why the special chiyuv to give tzedakah before Yom Tov. If you're not going to have poor people at your table, you give tzedakah so somebody's enjoying Yom Tov because of you on Yom Tov. I'm sharing the wealth. I'm sharing the simcha's Yom Tov. So the Rambam says that part of the chiyuv simcha is to share it with others. Well, so the Rav said that we know that Talmud Torah being simcha, the reason why this is coming up, the reason why in Tisha B'Av you can't learn Torah, the most ordinary Torah, is because Pikud Hashem Yisharim B'Samcha, if Torah makes you happy, so the best halachic way to share simcha with others is through Torah, so that when the Chassan says Torah at the Chassan's Kish, he is fulfilling his obligation to share his simcha with others by sharing Torah with others, and that's the root of the minhag of Torah the Chassan. It's a very serious thing. The Rav says it's part of the Chassan has a personal chiyuv of simcha. Part of my chiyuv of simcha is to share the simcha with others. What's the best way to do that? By teaching Torah. That's why you get an aliyah. And aliyah is, in the old days, you read the aliyah yourself. So when I'm leaning the Torah, I'm reading the Torah for you. I'm teaching Torah to the whole tzibur. So the idea of getting an aliyah and the idea of the chassan saying Torah at the chassan's tish is this idea to share the simcha. Beautiful. It's the top of the second column on page 3. He says, the top of the second column on page 3. Af ha-malami Torah l'achayim hu ofen shokiyu mitzvah simcha. Hari bezil hu malami Torah l'achayim hu gorin etzram simcha. Beautiful, a beautiful pshat. You should know by the briskers, by the way, they take the chassan says very seriously. I'll tell you a story, if you know anyone who went to Gush. This story, I was in Gush for 4 years. This story captures Gush exactly. Gush had two Rosh Yeshiva. One was Nifter recently, Rav Bilkinstein Shlita, and Yubato Ben Chaim Chaim, and Rav Amital Zatzal, who was a nifter recently. So Rav Lichtenstein is a brisker. Rav Amital was more Hasidish. And one of the most beautiful things about Gush was they got along. They were it's very uncommon. Two Koresh Yeshiva, equal power, and no infighting. And unfortunately, it's uncommon, and it's a beautiful thing to experience that. So I was there when Avaron's oldest son got married, Rav Moshe. He's Rosh Yeshiva now. So it was the time for the chassan. The wedding was in Gush. It was chassan's tish, and Rav Lichtenstein got up right before the chassan's tish and gave a whole Dvar Torah. He said this Dvar Torah that by us, by the briskers, the chassan, malami Torah, and this, take it seriously and don't interrupt, please. It's a serious thing. It's part of the chassan's chiyuv. Don't interrupt. So Rav Moshe starts speaking, and one word after he starts speaking, Rav Amital starts interrupting with a song. And if you catch that, that exactly captures of Aaron, and then he stopped and let him finish. But that story, if you, I was happy. That's not a good story as well. To be for that, Rav Aaron gives the whole schmooze. Don't interrupt, and Rav Aaron interrupts, and everyone's happy because he says, "What do you mean? This is the minute we interrupt, and then you let him finish afterwards." All right. Anyway, that's the chassan's tish. Okay, next, Kiddush HaChodesh. This really Kiddush HaChodesh. This was one of the things the Rav was the most famous for. One of the first articles the Rav published. He didn't publish so much. This was published in Hapardes many years ago. And, okay, Kiddush HaChodesh. The Chazan gets up there and he announces the Rosh Chodesh and he holds the Torah. That's a ceremony. Why is he holding the Torah? The Chazan takes the Torah and the scroll in his hand and announces the Rosh Chodesh. Why is he doing that for? We don't have ceremonies in Yadis. Everything we do, there's a halachic reason for it. So why does the Chazan have to hold the Torah when he announces Rosh Chodesh? And when he says a strange tefillah, Chaverim Kol Yisrael, V'nomar Amen. A beautiful tefillah, it's like, you know, Karbach, Chaverim Kol Yisrael, very nice. Why does he say that phrase? Well, what's that phrase from? So the Rebbe was bothered by this, and he gave the following idea. He gave a whole Lamed Shashir as follows. We have a Beis Din HaGadol. The Beis Din HaGadol, this was the Rebbe's main chiddush, and he had many sources for this. plays two roles in Yahavis. One role is the Beis HaGadol is Rahavdil, like the Supreme Court. The biggest shailas, the hardest questions, go to the Beis HaGadol. Okay. Paskin the hard shailas. There's another role of the Beis HaGadol. This was the Rav's, this second part was the main chiddush of the Rav. That there are several areas of halacha where the Beis HaGadol represents Am Yisrael. And Rahavdil, it's like the House of Representatives. And the Rav developed many makoros for this, that sometimes when there is a chiyuv on Am Yisrael to do something, the Beis in HaGadol does whatever the din is, but it's doing it acting as the House of Representatives on behalf of Am Yisrael. He gave several examples. One example was Kiddush HaChodesh, and the Rav developed at great length that the basic chiyuv to proclaim the new moon is on Am Yisrael. It's Am Yisrael's job to do that. Am Yisrael, as a nation, has responsibility. We, as a nation, have to establish every month the new moon. When Beis Din HaGadol says, Mekudosh, Mekudosh, and declares the new moon in Yerushalayim, it is acting on behalf of Klal Yisrael, like the House of Representatives. The Rav gave many proofs. One, the simplest proof is as follows. On Shabbos, we say, Baruch Atah Hashem Mekadesh HaShabbos. Who's Mekadesh Shabbos? Hashem. By himself. Shabbos is holy, seventh day is always Kadosh. We say Kiddush too, but fundamentally Shabbos is Kadosh by itself. Yom Tov, how does Yom Tov become Kadosh, according to the Torah? What happens? Well, Yom Tov is based on the dates of the month. The date of the month is based on when Rosh Chodesh happens. When Rosh Chodesh happens, it's based on the Aden come to Beis Din. Say, we saw the new moon. Beis Din says, oh, today's Rosh Chodesh. So when you think about it, who decides when Yom Tov happens? Beis Din, not Hashem. Hashem gave a date. 15th of Nisan is Pesach. So, will the 15th of Nisan be a Tuesday or a Wednesday? Well, that depends on when Rosh Chodesh Nisan was, Tuesday or Wednesday. Who decides that? Beis Din. So therefore, in our davening on Yom Tov, we don't say Mekadesh Hazmanim. Mekadesh Yisrael V'Hazmanim. Hashem's Mekadesh us, and then we, with Hashem, we are Mekadesh the Yom Tov. And it says Mekadesh Yisroel. Am Yisrael is Mekadesh the new moon. Beis Din does it for us as our representatives. And that was the Rav's made, a beautiful chiddush the Rav gave, the Rav developed, that the Beis Din is Mekadesh the Chodesh. We're acting as the House of Representatives on behalf of Am Yisrael. Oh. So when the Chazan declares the new moon, what he's doing is a hemsheikh of what the Beis Din HaGadol did. So that Chazan is acting on behalf of all of Klal Yisrael. That's why he says, Chaveim Kol Yisrael. It's not Stam. Chaveim Kol Yisrael. I'm talking now on behalf of everyone. That's what the Beis Din HaGadol did. He's not the Beis Din HaGadol, but what we do every month in Shul is a hemsheikh of what the Beis Din HaGadol did. And they were acting as the House of Representatives. So he says, Chaveim Kol Yisrael. And that's why he holds the Torah. Because the Torah is what binds us as a nation. This is the famous vort of Rav Sadia Gaon. Rav Sadia Gaon says, we're a nation because of the Torah. What makes us a nation? What binds a Jew here and a Jew in France? That we're all mamish, one part of the same nation. We don't have the same country. Our ancestors go way, way, way back, like I say, but not for the last 1,000 years. We have the same Torah. The Torah is the spiritual glue of the Jewish people. So this is mamash beautiful. So the Chazan wants to act on behalf of all of Klal Yisrael. He holds the Torah. This is what binds us as a nation. He says the words, Chaveim Klal Yisrael, and he declares the new moon. That's the reason for that minute. If you want to see it, it's in page 4. This is Nefesh Harav, page 48, footnote 17. He writes here, on the bottom here, it's in the last paragraph in the footnote on the bottom of page 4, the second line. V'nira, d'mehai time anagu she'ashliel tzibur, ochiz ha'sefer Torah b'yodo, v'shash t'mekach yimes ha'chodesh, v'omar chavim kol Yisrael, klomar, k'viyas haluach hi'chobas ha'shekla Yisrael, u'vizman ha'samhedrin, ha'yuhem ha'miyatzgim, they represented, es ha'klal, those him es ha'kviyas ba'adam, v'ach shvein t'anhedrin, we're doing it as a nation. And he gives the whole, he quotes, he refers to the Rav's Chiddush. And he proclaims, he announces, to represent Klal Yisrael. Lachain Nogu Shachaz and Ochas Sefer Torah Biyado Ba'osa Shah. Shehu Hu Hama'achid Umetzarev L'Kal Yisrael Biyachid. That's what binds us as a nation. It's famous of Sadigon. That's the Rav. So that Minhag, that's not a ceremony. That's a Kiyum of a Halacha. All of Am Yisrael is acting together. How can I express that I'm acting on behalf of Am Yisrael? I say Chaveim Kol Yisrael and I hold the Torah that binds us together as a nation. Okay. And finally, this is why we're talking about it now, is the Rav's approach to shaving during the 3 weeks. So it's like this. The Rav had a unique sheet, and this is one of those things that even most of the Rav's closer Talmidim don't follow on this. Okay? But the Rav had a unique sheet. The Rav held that basically it's mutter to shave every day or two for sure during the 3 weeks. I'll explain why. That was the Rav sheet. If you shave every day, not for work. For work is a separate heter. That's a separate question. For work, many people shave for work. That's one topic. Then there's the topic of shaving on Kavod Shabbos. That's another topic. If you're interested, there's sources for that. If that interests you, on page 7, I just in the weekly local discussion, the monthly local discussion, there are sources for that. Just if you're interested, again, it's not so commonly followed, but there are those that hold it's mutter to shave on Kavod Shabbos, and it's in the sources, page 7, if you're interested, from the monthly local discussion. Okay. But the Rav held a unique position. The Rav's position was it's mutter to shave during the 3 weeks. Why? So it's based on this yesod. It's like this. We have this minhag of avelus, of the 3 weeks to 9 days. So the Rav took it as axiomatic. You don't stop having minhagim. Every minhag fits into some pre-existing halacha category. It's not stop minhag begins. So we have avelus in halacha. There's shiva, there's shloshim, there's yud beis chodesh. I mean, that's what we have. Avelus, the Torah, the halacha is very clear. We have strict laws of avelus, shiva, shloshim, yud beis chodesh. And the Rav pointed out that the general, if you look at the what we have from the 3 weeks and also from Sfira, it corresponds most closely to yud beis chodesh, not to shloshim. That's what the Rav proved. And if you're interested in that, and that's very interesting, so there Rav Shechter and Rav Willig Shlita bring proofs for the Rav's approach. There are different Makoros, there are different Achronim, and comments of the Achronim, which indicate that they assumed the 3 weeks were more like Yud Beis Chodesh than Shloshim. On pages 5 and 6, I Xeroxed for you. This is good to know. This is... Oh, yeah, we'll get there.
You're allowed to shave.
Right, correct. Liking Yud Beis Chodesh. Like when you know, exactly. Oh, and this is fascinating, by the way. Just say if you should be aware of. There's a Rav in YU now, Rav Konigsberg Shlita, a friend of mine. Rav Konigsberg is a Chashev Rav, Chashev Magichir. He's got a lot of things going for him. He's one of those people that does a lot of things well, and that's why he's does a lot of things well. He has been writing up the Rav's Torah, Shiurei HaRav. And basically, he writes up the Rav's Torah the best. He's it. I called him on the phone. I said, Rav Konigsberg, you got to do it more. He says, I'm too busy with my shul and YU. Because what he does is, he takes Rav Shechter's notes. Those are the best notes. You have to start with Rav Shechter's notes. They're the best notes. That's another story. Rav Shechter's has been publishing his notes. You have Rav Shechter's notes from 1960, 61, 62, and Rav Shechter was 20, 21 years old. He took notes. First of all, he wrote down comments of people made in Shir. Like, if Rav Wilkenstein, he wrote Rav Aaron Chassan Rabbeinu, Reish Aleph Ches Reish. That's Rav Wilkenstein. Then he has Rav Blau, and he writes the names of their comments. And, okay, that's damn exciting. Then, Rav Shechter, you read his notes. This is a famous story. I'll tell you the famous story. He adds in, he was 20 years old, he adds in the Makoros. When he was 20, he knew Kol Torah Kula. And we have evidence, because it's in his notes. In other words, look in his notebook when he was 20 years old. There's a date on top. Everything's there. He has the Rav's writings. Then he has on his own, in parentheses, his own ideas that he added on. And it's mind-numbing what Rav Shechter knew when he was in his early 20s. There's a famous story about this. Now Rav Shechter publishes his notes on his own. Years ago, when I was in yeshiva, the early, mid-80s, somebody took Rav Shechter's notes and published them without permission from the Rav or from Rav Shechter. Okay, they published them. And there was a whole to-do about it, and there's a whole... Basically, the Rav didn't want them published. And the bookstore in Israel that was selling them was called Lichtenstein. And Rav Aaron, the Rav's son-in-law, his name's Lichtenstein, had the lawsuit. So the lawsuit in Israel was Lichtenstein versus Lichtenstein. That's just interesting tidbit. It never comes up on a quiz show, so that's it. So Rav Aaron won the lawsuit, and so they took all of these books, and they were in the Gush, Machsan, the Gush storage room, for many years. All right. Now these are all published again with notes. So the person who published them, he quotes the Rav, then he quotes Rav Shech, then he ends at the end, Sarich Iyun, Sari Ayin. Sari Ayin means, if you have a kasha on someone, you don't say I have a kasha, you write Sarich Iyun, which means I need to investigate it more. It's a very humble way of writing. It's just everything in Yadis, the way a Achron writes a Perush is, Rabbi Kiva has a kasha. How does he end? Sarich Iyun. What do the words mean? I need to investigate more. The Ramban, he's the Ramban. If I have a kasha on the Ramban, that's my problem, not his problem. Something we all can learn from that, the way we have to respect the earlier generation. And what if you have a big kasha? Saruch Iyun Gadol. I have to investigate a lot. So the way a Achron ends a kasha is by saying, Sadi Ayin Saruch Iyun. So you have the Rav's Torah, you have Rav Schechter's comments, Saruch Iyun, but it's not a kasha. It's just a comment that doesn't make any sense. The book is full of Tzarech Iyuns, but they're not kashas. Here's what happened. Rav Shechter wrote in his handwriting, Dalid Ayin. Rav Shechter has very circular handwriting. Rav Shechter's Dalid looks almost like it's Sadi. So when the guy took Rav Shechter's notes without permission and surreptitiously published them, he thought the Dalid was at Sadi. And he put Tzarech Iyun. So Hashem, Mida Keneg Mida, this guy published it without permission, and the whole world knows he's an Amar Aretz, that it's not a kasha. In other words, it's everyone can see. It says Sadi, it's not a kasha. He assumed it was a Sadi. You with me on this? And he embarrassed himself, okay? He embarrassed himself. So Hashem, he do things the wrong way, Hashem finds a way. He embarrasses himself. The whole world knows that there's no kasha. It's a Dalet Ayin stands for Tvar Atzmi. Rav Shechter was adding his own comments. He wanted to say, that was the Rav, and this is me. So Dalet Ayin is Tvar Atzmi, my own comments. But his Dalet was a little too circular, so the guy thought it was at Sadi. All right. So anyway, he takes Rav Shechter's notes. Then, if he has kashas, he asks Rav Shechter, he asks Rav Willig, and he puts out the best svarim they have on the 9 days on Tisha B'Av. You should get it. It's called Shiurei Harav. You have on Basa B'Cholav. Rav Kornizer taught Chulin. This must have been the best shiur around. So everything he has, he worked on the Rav's writings, and I think he put out another one also, a third one as well. He puts out the best. Anyway, so here in the footnotes, he quotes Rav Shecht and Rav Willig have different makoros that sound like it's the Yud Beis Chodesh, not Shloshim. So therefore, as Mr. Weber said correctly, so the Rav said as follows: during Yud Beis Chodesh, the halacha is that you don't shave until Goer Bachaverch, until your friend says you don't look so good, which normally is right away. A person who shaves every day after a month, he doesn't look so good. So you shave right after the Shloshim ends. Then we assume that as soon as you don't look good again, you can shave again. That's the standard practice. Person shaves every day. After 1 or 2 days, he doesn't look so good. So the Rav said, since the 3 weeks is like Yud Beis Chodesh, and during Yud Beis Chodesh, if you don't look good, it's Goer B'Chaverch, your friend says you don't look so good, you're allowed to shave. So the Rav held that one is allowed to shave during the 3 weeks because it's the parallel to Yud Beis Chodesh. Okay, and that shita exists, and could be people. And this, I think most of the Rosh Hashanah don't follow this, but this shita exists. You should know there's a chumra as well. This I heard from Rav Neuberger Shlita. Like going to a ball game. So going to a ball game, the Rav held was usher during the 3 weeks. Usher to go to a baseball game. Why? Because during Yud Beis Chodesh, it's usher to have a simcha meireus, a party with friends. So the Rav said, the Rav knew, he knew sports. The Rav said, when you go to a ball game, it's not just to be there. Part of the game is the experience with the crowd. It's not like watching the game at home. When you're at the crowd, the cheering of the crowd, yelling at the umpire all together, you're Mekayim, there's a kiyum when you're at the game, and it's true. So a ball game, the Rav said, is Simcha Meireus. And he held it was Mamish. It's not just like it's not in the spirit of the 3 weeks. He held it's Mamish Usher. The Rav held it's Usher. It's like Yud Beis Chodesh. It's Usher to go to a ball game during the 3 weeks because that's Simcha Meireus. So again, it's not the Rav looked for a kula, he wants his tamid to be able to shave. The Rav assumed that all of the minhagim are based on some pre-existing halacha, and he found evidence that the truth is Yud Beis Chodesh, and let the ships fall where they may. When it comes to shaving, it's more maker. When it comes to a ball game, the Rav held it, it's not just not in the spirit holds, it's really awesome. Rav Neuberger pointed out that, so that's where that comes from, that idea. Rav Shechter quotes it, and he brings, again, Lemaisa, what do you follow? You follow your Rebbe, you follow your Shul Rabbi, you follow your family custom. But to understand the Rav's position, this is the Rav's approach to Minhagim. It's a beautiful idea. The whole Yisod, we don't stop doing anything. We don't do anything stop. There's a reason for it. There's a halachic reason that it's based on, and there are many more examples. Rav Shechter, there's a whole list here. If you look in there's a whole list of examples. And this whole thing we're saying, developing, blends in with kol the tikkun d'rabbanan kein d'oraisa tikkun. Everything the Rabbanan say is based on a din d'oraisa. It's a similar concept. Even Minhagim go back to a pre-existing din. That's what where the Rav's coming from. And Rav Shechter gave, the Rav gave shiur on Minhagim. He'd give a whole shiur, explain a minhag in the Magen Avraham. And these are four beautiful examples. Yeah, the Rav Moshe assumes it's like 30 days, and others say, stam, the meaning developed, and it's awesome. The Rav Moshe assumes 30 days, and most people follow. If you look here, in the footnotes here, by the way, Rav Neustadt, in the weekly Ocha discussion, he's very thorough. He quotes Rav Shechter in the body. He quotes Nefesh Rav sometimes. And it's interesting. All right. So that's top first half of this year. The Rav's approach to Minhagim, and again, it's a Jewish action this month. Very lucky. Okay, great. Next. Now more Chizuk. Those of you... in yeshiva this year for Shavuos. I gave part of this year after Shavuos and I sent it out. Alright. In yeshiva, yeah. Okay. The topic of the second half of this year is to love Torah. To love Torah. Every Jew is supposed to love learning Torah. Supposed to love learning Torah? There's a famous Hakdama Vigle Tal. Vigle Tal. It's one of the most famous Rambam in Hilchos Shabbos. And in the Hakdama, he was asked the following question. I'm supposed to do mitzvos lishma. The outline of this is on page 8 of the booklet in front of you. I'm supposed to do mitzvos lishma. Mishma means just because Hashem commanded. So somebody asked the Igle Tal, when I learn Torah, I enjoy the learning. So maybe the learning, maybe the enjoyment takes away from the lishma. It's a very religious question. I enjoy the learning, so Rebbe, it's not lishma because I enjoy it so much. The Igle Tal said, no, just the opposite. The enjoyment of the learning is part. It's part of the mitzvah of learning. You're supposed to enjoy. It's not that the enjoyment is a separate component. The enjoyment is part of the mitzvah when you're supposed to enjoy your learning. You say it every day in davening. V'harabna Hashem Elokeinu. We ask Hashem, Hashem, make the learning pleasant. We ask Hashem every day. Every day, Birchas HaTorah. But you are supposed to enjoy his learning. And the more you enjoy the learning, the bigger mitzvah it is. That's what the Harav know. It's part of the mitzvah is to enjoy the learning. Rav Nevin Saul has a comment he likes to say. This is on page 9 in your booklet by the second asterisk. He says, if you learn Torah, it's a kiyum of Talmud Torah. If you learn Hilchos Shabbos, you're mekayim the mitzvah of Zechus Yom HaShabbos Lakadsho. If you learn Hilchos Shabbos on Shabbos, if you learn Hilchos Shabbos with Igle Tal on Shabbos, then it's Talmud Torah, Zochus Yom HaShabbos Kacho, and Oneg Shabbos as well. That's his family. You learn the Igle Tal. Rav Nemetzal loves the Igle Tal. In the next Yushalayim B'Modei on Shabbos, a lot of his comments on the Igle Tal are coming out. It's the next thing. That's a nice point. That's Oneg Shabbos. You're supposed to enjoy the learning. If you enjoy the learning, great. If you don't, daven for it. You're supposed to ask Hashem, have kavanah tomorrow, have b'harav now. Hashem, help me enjoy learning more. We'll discuss how to do this. Morasha me'orasa, number 2. One of my favorite words I heard from my Rebbe Yehuda Lichtenstein, Shlita, many years ago in Gush. Torah tziva lanu Moshe, morasha kilas Yaakov. The Torah is Yerusha, inheritance. So morasha, the Gemara is a play on words, that the shin can be a sin. Morasa, which is the word for when you're engaged. Me'orasa, when you're engaged. Okay. Some of you were engaged, some of you will be engaged, but okay, that's a sham. All of you might be engaged, but it's a sham. Me'orasa, all the Talmidim. So it goes as follows. Why does the same word mean inheritance and engagement? What's the message there? So Abulinton said as follows. a Yerusha is typified by something which is I'm comfortable with. I know it. Let's say you have a chair. It's been in your family for generations. You're comfortable in the chair. You sit down. You fit. You slide right in. It fits really well. When it comes to learning, learning should be something that I'm comfortable with, and it's something which I do, and it's a given in my life. Rav Lichtenstein said, opening a Gemara, opening a Mishnah, should be as comfortable as slipping on an old pair of shoes. It goes right on. That's what the term means by Yerusha, Morasha Kilos Yaakov. Why Me'orasa? Because that's not enough. When you're engaged, Erusin is typified by a sense of anticipation. I'm looking forward to when I get married. I'm counting down to this. When I was in YU, my roommate was engaged. So he and his kala had this thing on the phone. Every night they'd have a gematria of how many days left of day till they got married. I'm not sure if my roommate either was into this or he was a very good actor. Either way, and like 32 was Lev, and 13 was Ahava. Every night, okay, whatever. And that's what he did, and he's happily married many 20 years now. Okay, so it worked. So if you're excited. A person should be excited about the next Daf Gemara, the next Mishnah. Erusin, I can't wait to get to the next stage when I finally get married. I'm excited, and that's beautiful. When it comes to Torah, it's a combination. It's Yerusha, it's an inheritance, it's what I do, I put on my shoes, I learn Gemara. But it's not just that. Then it can be stale. No, I'm also excited. At the same time, I'm excited about the new Daf Gemara. It's a beautiful shot. That's why Me'orasha, Me'orasa. I have a whole story here with snow. It's a long story. I'll talk fast. It snowed in Israel, and my kids, and it was snowing in Yerushalayim, so I learned in the morning. I took my kids to Yerushalayim in the afternoon to see the snow, a very Israeli thing to do. We got on the train. We're going to Yerushalayim on the train, looking for the snow, and there's no snow, because all the snow had melted by the time we got there. Here I was trying to be a great father, and then the whole thing was falling apart, and kids were so depressed. All right. So I said, instead of going home, we'll go to the bakery at Malcolm Mall and then go back on the bus. I go back on the train. So there at the bakery, we found a little underneath. We were in the parking lot, and there was a couple little snow in the parking lot. It hadn't melted yet. Oh, my kids! We saw snow. We built a little snow midget, and we really did. We had sticks and the whole thing. We had pictures. It was fabulous. My kids were excited. Then we went to the bakery, about to leave. My son said, "Let's go to the zoo." Why not? It was a strange thing to do, and my parents bought us this, the yearly pass to the zoo. So we go to the zoo. They say, "You sure you want to go in there?" I mean, there were no animals around, like one animal and two other people. We're at the zoo, whatever. We look up on a hill, and there's snow there. Like, somehow that snow, but there's no sun, real snow. My kids built a snowman and this, and a snowball fight, and we have pictures. And my daughter said to me, because I didn't know, my daughter said to me, "Abba, this is the best day of my life. I never saw snow before." Because my kids live in Israel. My little kids, they never saw snow. So it hit like a ton of bricks. So in my Gemaras now, I write the word snow on the front in a little post-it. That I should try to view this Gemara like my daughter viewed the snow. First time, first time you experience snow, unbelievable. That's Me'orasa. Supposed to enjoy learning. Another snow story. There's a famous Maisa that an older Yerushalmi Jew. He saw this old man once dancing in the snow in Yerushalayim. This is a famous story. It's in all the books. He goes up, and who's this guy dancing? It's Rav Shach. Rav Shach, that's all, the great God of Rav Shach. He said, "Rebbe, why are you dancing in the snow?" So he said, "I just came from the Briska Rav." Rav Shach was very close to the Briska Rav. He told me beautiful Dvar Torah. And when I hear Torah, I always want to dance. But it looks strange to dance in public, so I don't. But here, I thought no one was around, so I was dancing in the snow. But you happened to catch me dancing in the snow. I always want to dance when I hear Dvar Torah from the Briska Rav. People think it's strange. I don't dance. But I was. No one's around outside in the snow. Middle of the night, so I thought I would dance. You caught me dancing in the snow. That's the famous Maisa with Rav Shach, the dancing in the snow Maisa. Number four, Rav Chizkiya Shlita. Rav Chizkiya loves Torah. You guys know this. Rav Chizkiya loves Torah. He tells Rav Chizkiya Dvar Torah he never heard before. What happens? He starts to move. Guys, you all know this. You tell him, he can't control himself. He starts to move. We call it the Rav Chizkiya dance because, some of us when we're younger, we move to music. Rav Chizkiya's neshama is so trained, it's so sensitive, when he hears a nice chiddush in Torah, it just touches him and he starts to move. I get such chizuk. I throw words at him to try to get see the little dance. If one thing he likes, he says, "Oh, Cain, tell me." He has a line, another line. He says, when Reb Chizkiya likes a vort, listen to what he says. He said, this is what he says. Oh, mesamachat, mesamachat. It makes me happy. That's what he says when he likes something you say to him. He doesn't say that's nice. He says, mesamachat. It's exactly the right faith. That's Reb Chizkiya. It's a chizik for us. Reb Nemetzel loves the quotes from the Tzanzer Rav that, you know, you're supposed to on Yom Tov have half day learning and half day eating and drinking. Chatzi l'shem, chatzi l'chem. All right. So the Tzanzer Rav said as follows. He's up the whole night learning, and they finished davening, and now it's time to go eat. So the Tzanzer Rav said to his Talmidim, we just finished the chatzi l'chem, the half that you enjoy. Now let's make sure that the eating and drinking is chatzi l'shem. It's l'shem shemayim. That's not the real pshat. The real pshat is when you eat and drink is l'chem, that you enjoy. And the learning and davening is l'shem. But the learning is so enjoyable. The learning is so enjoyable. Chatzi l'chem. That I enjoy. And then make sure I eat l'shem shemayim chatzi l'shem. It's a very sharp vort. All right. Like I said, you're supposed to enjoy learning. If you enjoy learning, great. If you don't enjoy it yet, so ask Hashem. Number five. Find your chiluk in Torah. Find what you enjoy. There's so much out there. So much out there compared to what I had 30 years ago with art school now and all the sparm. There's so much out there. Some people like to learn. You like to learn Gemara. So we have one example is examples. Amud Yomi. Amud Yomi is not a good idea. It's a great idea. Sometimes Daf Yomi is too much for some people. Amud Yomi. You guys know Ray. He's my example. Daniel Raymond was in yeshiva like 5-6 years ago. He's been on Amud Yomi. He hasn't stopped. He's going to finish Shas, B'lian Har, in 10-12 years. Like when I meet him now, I meet him, let's say, I don't say hello when I meet him. I say, what amud are you on? Like like I say, like before I say hello, what amud? Oh, Kiddush and Lamed Gemara. Oh, hello, how are you doing? Like, he was visiting yeshiva once after Sukkot, and I was commenting on Pesach. So I said, on Pesach, on Daf Ayin Gimel, you know, I mean, that's where he's going to be on Pesach, which he was on, you know, because he does every week, three blad a week, Chazar on Shabbos. It's a great idea. Amud Yomi, you start. What does a Pshaya always say? If you start something, you don't stop. Eventually, you finish. Finish all the shas. Mishnayos. People don't realize Mishnayos, it's not hard to finish shas Mishnayos. If you learn two Mishnayos a day, you finish one Seder a year. So 6 years, you finish all of shas. You guys are 19, 20, but 25, you see him on shas Mishnayos. Anyone can do this. I'll tell you a story. It gives me chizuk. You know Rav Dov, in yeshiva, Rav Dov. So I gave the speech once, two Mishnayos a day. So Rav Dov walks a lot. And he began learning two Mishnayos as he was walking. And he made a siyum on a Seder Mishnayos a year later. And at the siyum, he gave away this thing, two Mishnayos a day. So he called me. A guy at the siyum began doing this. And he made a siyum on Seder Mishnayos. Because he began doing two Mishnayos a day, four Mishnayos a day, every 6 months. Some of my kids are into Mishnayos more than others. So one of my kids, four Mishnayos a day. Clockwork. Every Pesach, every Sukkot, he makes a siyum. Every Pesach, every Sukkot. There's a guy, you know, one of Ravina's favorite people, Ezra Weinblatt. He's got married recently. Ravina came in for the wedding. He called me from Penn. Rabbi, I just finished Shas Mishnayos. You know, he thanked me because he's doing four Mishnayos. It took him 3 years. Shas, anyone can do this. Two Mishnayos, four. You start and you find your chaluk. That's Bekiyas, that's Mishnayos. Iyun. Nowadays, Iyun, you can learn Iyun with Rabbi Zibolovsky on why you told her. Unbelievable. Rabbi Simon, download the packets. You have Rabbi Simon, that's Gan Eden. You have Rabbi Simon's packets. You have YU Torah and you're ready to go. You can learn Kol Torah Kula or Simon with this style. Unbelievable. And you find your chelik. Listen, we're in the five towns. Rabbi Leibowitz. I'm telling you, the 10 minute halacha. Listen, they're unbelievable. He gives you the makar. He gives you 30 makars, 45 makaras. And you listen to 10 minute makarish, you can make it your project from now until Chavez, Pesach. You go through 100. He gives you the makoros. You can have a notebook this thick. He goes you the gemaras and the rishonim and all the tshuvas in 10 minutes. So go to night seder. Take one of his shears. Look. You have to find a good library. Look up all the makoros and that's it. You're ready to go. There's so much out there. You find your chaluk that some people like gemara, some people like mishnah. You have to ask Hashem to help and find what you enjoy. Find your chaluk in Torah. It's very important. Number six, efforts. Artur Tuskanin. A lot of people don't get someone to learning because they say, listen, I don't learn the high level. I'm not the top guy in shir. My lumbus is not so good. I can barely get through a Gemara and Rashi. And so they give up. So that's a mistake. There's a story about Pesach Groen. Shlita told this story. It was on as follows. The story goes as follows. There was a yeshiva was up in the mountains learning in the summer, and an old man would come and learn sometimes in the Beis Medrash. They said, "Oh, how are you? Shalom Aleichem, who are you?" So the old man said, "Look, recently I was diagnosed with some form of inoperable disease. Doctor said I have 6 months to a year to live, so I figured, okay, so I haven't learned so much, I'm going to learn now." Okay. Very impressive, he's learning. A week or two later, they see him on the corner over there. He's not so happy. He sits there, he's not happy, he lost it a little bit. They said to him, "What's happening?" He said, "Look, I see you guys over there, you're rabbanim and you're learning and you're attacking and asking me. I barely get through with the art scroll, it's not the real thing." So he's a little depressed. So the Rav told him the following story. He said, "Hashkacha, here's a story. Apparently there's a famous conductor called Arturo Toscanini." Famous, apparently. And he's a chashuva guy, so he had a biographer who was writing a biography with these chashuva people. So they get somebody who can write well, and they write a biography. He does the writing, he adds a little in. So the biographer was sitting with Toscanini, and he said, "Oh, tonight we can't talk." He said, "Why can't you talk?" "Because tonight I have to listen to a certain concert." "Why?" "Because I was supposed to be the conductor of this concert, but I couldn't make it. So I want to hear how it went." So they're listening on the shortwave radio. This is like, you know, in the Stone Age before the internet. And they're listening and listening. And the concert finishes. The symphony, the concert. And at the end, the guy says, "Oh, it was beautiful. It was beautiful, wasn't it?" Toscanini said, No. "It was terrible." He said, "What do you mean?" He said, "There's supposed to be 14 violinists. There were only 13. There was a violinist missing. And it threw off the sound of the symphony." The biographer says, "Wait a second. We're sitting at 3,000 miles away. You can tell that there was one violinist missing?" He said, "Yeah." You couldn't believe it. He did some research, made some phone calls. Turns out that at the last minute, one of the violinists got sick. He couldn't make it. And Taka, there were 13 instead of 14. And Toscanini, 3,000 miles away, noticed that one violinist was missing. Amazing story. That's the mashal. So the nimshal is, Hashem wants us all to learn Torah. Everyone has his chelek in Torah. The same chelkenu b'sorah secha. Some people's chelek is huge, and some people is smaller. You have to find your chelek in Torah. And if Toscanini can notice the 14th violinist missing, Hashem notices the 1,080th of the guy not learning the Mishnah, that he's able to learn. And the story ends that the person, the old man, was a nifter within a few months later. And his son said at the Shiva that my father every day would come to the Beis Medrash saying, "I'm going to play music for Hashem now." And that's how we took the mashal from Toscanini. All right. This is one of the biggest problems. People think, if I can't get to the top, I shouldn't start. That's the Eitz Hara. You learn what you're good. You find something you can do. It could be Mishnah. It could be Gemara B'kiya. Some guys learn Gemara B'iyun. You have to find a Rebbe. Because it's hard to learn B'iyun by yourself. With guidance, you have a Leibowitz. There's things you can do. You find something you can do. Number 7 is time. "I don't have time. I'm too busy. I got my school and I've got this and there's so much work." And it's true. It's very busy. You have to make time. When something's very important, you make time. There's a mashal from Rabbi Twersky, and with this we'll close. Rabbi Dr. Twersky, Abraham Twersky, has a great mashal. I've heard him say it a few times. It's called the President's Room mashal. A guy has a business trip, he comes to the hotel, he needs a place to stay. The manager says at the hotel, "I'm sorry, I have no rooms in the hotel." He says, "I need a place in the hotel, we have no rooms in the hotel." So the businessman says, "Look, you're telling me if the President of the United States came right now to your hotel, you couldn't find him a room?" He says, "Well, the president came. Yeah, he might find him a room." The guy says, "Good. He's not coming. I'll take his room." It's a great mashal. If it's very important, you find the time. You make the time. If the president comes, you make time. If this is the most important thing, you make time. Person has to love Torah. If you don't love Torah, ask Hashem. Hashem, help me enjoy learning more. Find something you enjoy learning. You find the chizuk. We're not all going to be the lover of Chizkiyah. Chris starts dancing when he hears a nice Dvar Torah, Misamachat. That's a high madrega. Okay, you have to do the best you can. You make the time, you find the right thing, you come into a shiur like this, you took time out, you made time, it's the right move to make, and you have to find time and put the time in. I thought, I got chizuk. But I wanted to set up the shiur, so I'm speaking to the girls at 8 o'clock, so I thought I was going to make the shiur maybe 9 o'clock. Someone said, no, 9 o'clock is night seder time. So guys, I got a lot of chizuk. I told Arbina, he had a big smile on his face. I told about three as well. I told them both. I got a lot of chizuk. 9 o'clock, guys don't want to come to shiur and miss night seder because of a shiur. That's fabulous. You go to extra, you come to extra for a shiur. That's the way it's supposed to be. So this is the second part of the shiur, the loving tov. All right, we all should be zocha to really try to add more to our love of learning, and either we have it or we daven for it and we find the right thing to learn. We all should get a lot of chizuk. And Mitzvah Hashem, increase our avas. Okay, we'll stop here. If anyone's interested,